All right. We are going to finish up 1 Peter today. It has been 10 months. 10 months we've been in 1 Peter. 37 weeks, and then we took a week to be home for the holidays, so it's been about 10 months. And we're going to finish it up today, hopefully. Getting a little bit of a late start on my sermon here. But we are Team Jesus, and so we are here today to be instructed by our captain, our Lord, our Savior. It's His team, His rules, His way. So today we're going to be in 1 Peter, and we're going to be in chapter 5. We should be able to finish out the chapter today, chapter 5, with a sermon entitled Peter's Closing Thoughts. But before we get to the closing thoughts, I want to go to the opening thoughts so we can remember, since it's been about 10 months. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That is his identity. Whatever his identity was, whatever his purpose was, whatever his will was, when he met Jesus Christ, when he became a true believer, everything changed. And his identity now was found in Jesus Christ. It is the same with each one of you. If you've been born again, then you have a new identity. And that defines the rest of your life, or it's supposed to. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. Now we talked about this. Persecution had come to these new believers. Their lives were upside down because of this. They were having to flee, to hide. Their world had turned upside down. Very much so, like the world today. We have so much. This generation of believers living now has so much in common with the first century believers. It's almost like the church has come full circle. So much of what they have dealt with, had to deal with, we're dealing with. We too live in a world that is turning upside down. Everything is chaos. Things don't make sense. Sin is rampant. Darkness is overwhelming. But in this dispersion, with their lives being turned upside down, here's what Peter says to them. Verse 2. Elect. He lets them know who they are. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. This is who you are. You're the elect. God has chosen you for such a time as this. Elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Your salvation is an act of God's sovereign will that He brought into your life to bring you to the point where you could exercise your own free will to either accept or reject, but you are saved by Him and Him alone through Jesus Christ. You're not saved for any other reason than God chose you and elected you and brought you to the cross. He gave you the faith to believe. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And now He sustains you by the power of God in faith. The elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, in sanctification. Wait a minute. Peter, they're running for their lives. They're hiding. Their world is turned upside down. And now you're still telling them they need to seek sanctification of the Holy Spirit of God being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? Yes. It's exactly what he's saying. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We're the elect, and we're to be in sanctification of the Holy Spirit, which means, yes, you are to be studying the Word of God, the Word that sanctifies us. Allowing the Holy Spirit to change you for what? For obedience. God has called us to obey His Word, to obey His commandments. And for us, it's a little easier than the saints of the Old Testament. We have two, basically. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. You fulfill those two, you'll fulfill all the law. And in that, you will do what's best for your neighbor. And who is our neighbor? Everybody. And what's best for everybody out there is to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why the church was created. He gave us one commission as a church. To go out and make disciples. To do that, you have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are lost. We've been called for obedience. It doesn't matter if the world's turning upside down. We've been called to obedience. Just like these were. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are set aside. We are sanctified. We are Christ. He owns us. He purchased us with a heavy price. The lives we live, we now no longer live for ourselves, but for Him. Even with the world turning upside down, Peter says, stay focused. You are the church. You are the only hope for them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once the church is gone, God will use some other factors in the end times. 144,000 witnesses, two main witnesses, and even towards the end, angels themselves. But right now, to escape what is coming, the judgment of God, the tribulation period, there is one force in the world, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. It is us. And we are to set our lives apart for Jesus Christ. We are sanctified by His blood. In the service of our Lord and Savior. I want you to listen to Amir Safadi. Go ahead.
That I have to say it. I've watched in the last couple of years churches. But besides churches, Christians, individuals. That they're fighting the wrong fights. They're holding the wrong banners. They're doing the wrong things, and it makes them angry and sad and embarrassed and confused because they do not hold on to the Scriptures as the only authority. And they do not understand that in these last days, in these evil days, we must have the belt of what? Truth. We must have the armor of what? Righteousness. It's not our righteousness. It's not our government's righteousness. It's certainly not our constitution's righteousness. It is the Lord's righteousness. And then we must put on those shoes or sandals, depends which version of the Bible you read, because he was describing a Roman soldier. And they are what? It's the gospel of peace. It's not the gospel of war. Let's go to war. Seeing enough Christians, they're mingling with anarchists, they're mingling with pro-abortions, with pro-LGBT, with pro-everything, just to say that they are pro-freedom. Wow. What a company you have. And I see Christians that instead of praying for their government, they proudly use slogans that replace the F word. And I see Christians that are now flocking to the new best thing on podcasts that cannot even complete one sentence without five times the F word and three times the S word. A new hero of all of us. Where are we? What fight are we fighting? This is it. It has everything we need.
Go ahead and click.
We don't need to come up with...
Have a few more minutes, but I'm running out of time. Who's preaching a sermon? It's online. Who's in control of the Middle East? It's a very good sermon. When you watch it, you're going to realize how close we are to the end. We could easily see Ezekiel 38 happen this year. And if Ezekiel 38 happens this year, the rapture is in that ballpark. What are we wasting our time fighting things? The world's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. The Bible's already told us that. We're not going to get our country back. It doesn't matter if we elect some conservative in the future or whatever. The world has changed and it is not going back. The Bible has predicted it. It is happening. The end is coming. And what are we wasting our time doing? The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's got to be our banner. It's got to be the forefront of everything we do each day. It's the pilgrims of the dispersion. Elect. In sanctification. For obedience. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us. That was the opening thought of Peter. Let's go to chapter 5. Close this out. Peter closes with talking to the elders. The elders are not those who are elderly in the church. It is a position of the church leadership. It is the pastor, also called overseer, bishop, or pastor in Scripture. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I am also a fellow elder, leader of the church, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. So, he tells the pastors, shepherd the flock that God has entrusted you with. Shepherds kept it real easy. Get the sheep fed, and you protect them. From the enemy, from the predators. First, or 2 Timothy chapter 4, Apostle Paul tells the young pastor, Timothy, I charge you, it's a military understanding here, a military directive. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word, pastor. That's your job. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, when they want to hear the word and when they don't want to hear the word. It doesn't matter. You bring the word. Convince, rebuke. Convince them of the truth of the word. Rebuke them where they go away from the word. Exhort them to seek after it, to obey it, with all patience and teaching. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to want to hear what this says. But according to their own desires, they'll have itchy ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll flock to people who will tell them what they want to hear. There's always false teachers out there. The enemy's got plenty of them. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. Be turned aside to fables. Don't we see that happening in so many different aspects in our culture today? But especially inside the church. But you be watchful, pastor, in all things. You endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. That's what being a shepherd's all about. First Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Serving as overseers, you are to oversee the church. It's not about trying to be in everybody's business because you're not in people's business, but you make sure this church and the ministries of this church operate in a godly way, in a biblical way. And that every aspect of this church is about Jesus Christ and about the Word of God. It's not about us. Even that coffee shop back there, it's not about us. It's about us coming together in the bonds of love and fellowship. It's about trying to invite people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Serve as overseer of the church. Not by compulsion, but willingly. A lot of pastors are lazy. Or they don't want to deal with actually teaching the Word of God because conflict arises. People fight back in churches when a pastor tries to bring the truth. And if he doesn't stick to his guns and dig in the power of the Holy Spirit, he ends up getting fired or they beat him down and burns out or he just falls back and retreats. But there will be a resistance that arises inside the church from the Word of God being preached from the pulpit. And if the pastor holds his ground and teaches the Word, people will grow, the church will change, but people will leave as well because they don't want the truth. And they don't want the authority of a pastor over them, even though that's what the pastor is called. but not to lord over people, but to lead them. We're to do this willingly. We're not to be lazy. We're supposed to be gung-ho about our job. Not for dishonest gain. We're not here to get rich. All right? Not here about money. Though the Bible says you are to pay your pastor, take care of the pastor for those who are doing the will of God. But you're not here to get rich off the job. There's a lot of dishonest pastors out there. Verse 3, nor being lords over those entrusted to you. So Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He's your shepherd. But he has put me as an under shepherd on this body. He's entrusted me to lead you to him, not just in salvation, but in discipleship and sanctification. He's entrusted me to guard this flock and teach this flock. But not as lords, not as a lord. I'm lording over you like I'm above you. I'm on the same ground as you. I'm saved by the same grace you're saved. I have the same Holy Spirit you do. I have the same Bible you do. I'm not your lord. But there are pastors out who try to be lords over their congregation, try to control their people. I don't control and get my nose in anybody's personal life there. Now, if you bring something that is ungodly into this church, you and me will have a discussion in love and truth. Because now you're bringing something sinful inside the body. I'm not your lord. I don't try to control you. I'm here to teach you the word of God. I want you to have one Lord in this life, and that is Jesus Christ. I want you to have him as the one you serve, the one you love. I don't want you looking like me. I want you looking like Jesus Christ. So, pastor, don't lord over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. Skip Matthew. Well, go to Matthew 20. I'm running out of time here. But here again, Jesus said it very clearly. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, lead from the front, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Now I go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're to be examples. So the pastor should be the greatest example in the church of a servant. No one should work harder than me in this church. And I've tried to do that the last 8 years. I'm going to lead by example. But I'm also going to hold you accountable to that example, which is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to teach you to the best of my ability. And you are required by your salvation given to you by God through Jesus Christ to obey him. Nor is being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people. Yeah, you younger people. Submit yourselves to your elders. Why does he just point out the younger people? Because you know what? I've had lots of problems as a pastor with older people. I've had more problems with older people than younger people. Let's just say, though, the younger people tend to have maybe a little more headstrong about going to do their own thing. Because they got their whole life ahead, and they got this plan, and then the pastor says, no, you're sanctified to Jesus Christ. No, you don't have a life anymore. That belongs to Jesus Christ. So Peter's saying, listen, young people, submit. Obey. Listen. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Wow. Do you understand what Peter's saying? Even though the world is falling apart for all these disciples, all these Christians, they're to continue to submit to one another. You come here for the others. You don't come to church because you're trying to do the right thing. I'm a good person, goes to church, good Christian, goes to church. No, you come to church because, one, God says do not forsake the assembling together. Two, we want to come here and encourage one another. We want to be servants to one another because we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not because you're that lovable, but because Christ has put His Spirit in us and His heart is being formed in us. And Christ loves us, so we love each other. It's the product of following Christ. Be humble. Be humble. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I've seen a lot of prideful people in this church when I got here. One of them was me. God humbled me through many different circumstances. This is not the place to be prideful. It's the place to be humble. And if we're humble, we can overlook things that are done that are not right. When someone's rude to us, we're not rude back. If things don't go our way, it's okay, because it's not about us. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The mighty hand of God is upon us. Much better is the hand than the wrath that used to abide on us. The wrath of God, the wrath used to abide on us. But when we were found in Jesus Christ, when we came to the cross, when we entered the door, when we laid upon the rock, the wrath was removed. And the hand that protects us and guides us was there. And in that hand, there is no better place to be. But because that hand is on us, He has purchased us. And now we live in sanctification for obedience to Him. What He calls us to do and to do, might be very, very difficult in this life. We may have to sacrifice. We may have to suffer. He may humble us in ways we don't want to be humbled. But if we trust Him, even though what He's calling us to do can seem overwhelming, it's going to interrupt the plans we have for our own lives. In due time, He'll exalt. You'll be lifted up. He'll reward you. You'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful." Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, as real as we need to be focused on Jesus Christ, you need to understand there's a real enemy out there. You better keep your mind focused on Christ and His Word. You better be vigilant because He looks for any sort of way into your life. The enemy is seeking to kill, steal, and destroy you. John 10. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and out finding pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy." Now, once you have Christ, you're in Christ, He can't take you away from God. But we know from Scripture that God allows His people sometimes to be hit by the enemy very hard. God's got purposes and understandings that we just don't get. But you do need to understand that the enemy wants to destroy you as a person. He's looking for any way into your life. He wants to steal your joy, your peace. He wants to steal it. So if other believers out there won't see, or other people out there won't see, the non-believers won't see what you have. He wants to steal your peace and your joy. He can. He wants to kill your obedience to Jesus Christ, your effectiveness, your testimony, so you can no longer proclaim Jesus Christ because he's proven and made you into a hypocrite, into a traitor. He wants to destroy everything Christ has given you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking him whom he may devour. Resist him and steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You're not the only Christian out there. Take comfort in that. But let me tell you, Satan doesn't eat the unbelieving. He doesn't need to destroy and devour the unbelieving. They're already his. He destroys and devours believers. Be vigilant. Be sober. Verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. James 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You who are trying to live both in the world and with God. Stop it. Draw near to God. Lament, mourn, weep. This world should make us weep. We should always see out there and hear those sirens that there's evil and there's suffering in the world. People are dying and people are going to hell every day. The judgment is coming. Stop loving this world and let us love our Lord more and be obedient to Him in this world. Let's stop loving our own time and our own hobbies more than loving people and trying to reach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Inviting them to church. Inviting them to have a cup of coffee so they can hear the gospel. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Verse 10, back in chapter 5, but may the God of all grace, who called us, the elect, to His eternal glory by Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a while, we will suffer for the cause of Christ. It's just the way it is. Accept it. Allow it to have its perfect work in you. Because in the hard times and when you're weak, then you are strong. Because you will depend, you will flee, you will run to the arms of Jesus Christ. And you'll be found in Christ. Too many pastors are making Christianity all about us, about their people. It's not about us. It's not about us having our best life now, even having peace and joy, even though that will be part of you when you're in Christ. Right now, we're in a war. And we're going to suffer for the cause. Can't be helped. Can't be escaped. As Christ suffered for us. After you have suffered a while. But we'll suffer together. We'll encourage one another. We'll stand shoulder to shoulder, back to back. We'll make the good fight together. Two is better than one. after you have suffered a while. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God will work in us and work through us. He'll do something awesome so we can give Him the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 12. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. It's all about the grace. Let me tell you something, Christians. We are a people of grace. Saved by grace, we want God's grace. We love God's grace. We sing Amazing Grace. Do you know what? We do that so well. We sing it. We teach it. Do you know what we don't do well with it? Show it. Show it. To others. Especially inside the body. We're a people of grace. Let it flow into us and through us and on us. Yes. Sing about it. Yes. Show it then. Let us show grace to one another. Christians are the worst at showing grace. Doesn't make sense. Exhorting and testifying, this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, code for Rome. I don't have time to get into that right now, but you can trust me, this is what it means. Peter is hiding the fact that there's a church in the Roman capital. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, fellow believers in Christ, greets you. And so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Let me just put a little side note there. That is a cultural thing for them. Do not come up and kiss me. Would not be healthy for you. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Let's just go with a handshake. That's our culture. Peace to you all. Who are in Christ Jesus. In. Meaning born again. You've truly tasted the grace of God and it's changed your life. You're here because you're born again, not because you're trying to do some religious thing. And right now, I can't let this go. I know some of you are not saved still. I know. I've heard some testimonies in here. And I've been praying for you. And I know many of you are. But I'm telling you something. If your testimony, I want you to evaluate your testimony. If you did not raise the name of Jesus Christ high, it's all about Jesus. It's nothing about you. It's all about Him. I wasn't going to go here, but God just said, go. Last thing I want to do is people doubt. I want you to be 100% sure. But I've been praying for some that God has put on my heart for years, literally now. And I want to corner them. And some I have. Some God's given me the opportunity. Others He's not. I want to be patient. I want to let the work, Holy Spirit work. But I'm still scared for some of you. Listening to Amir, I felt this weekend, man, the rapture's got to be right around the corner. We got no time left to play. We got to share the gospel. And there's some of you I'm worried about. And if God's putting that on your heart, come talk to me. Jesus is everything to us. And you've missed the mark. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Can you say you're in Christ Jesus? There's a difference. Folks, we're here to serve one another, to humble ourselves in the mighty hand of God. We are here to serve the Great Commission. We are to do what our Lord and Jesus Christ spilled His blood for us to do. That is why we are here. Stop loving this world. Stop being consumed with this world. And let us get busy about the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior. It's not just my job. It is all of us. We are all on the same ground. But I am the pastor. I'm the shepherd here. I am to lead you and set the example. And I have been. And I will continue to do so. But I need you there with me. Let's use the ministries of this church. We don't have a ton here. We're not like some churches. But what we have, let's use. Use the coffee shop. Use the youth ministry and children's ministry, the adult Bible studies. Join in. Invite. Engage. Dear Heavenly Father, worship team, come on up. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Lord, I honor you, I hope. I know I always am not perfect at it, and I fail. For that, I am sorry. Sometimes I let myself get discouraged as a shepherd here. Sometimes I let myself get angry. That's because I've taken my eyes off the chief shepherd for a moment. So Lord, I ask as the elder in this church, guide me. Direct me and control me at all times. That I may serve you honorably. And Lord, I pray for the people. That you make each one of us a servant. Each one of us to be humble. Each one of us to be in sanctification. And each one of us to be in obedience to you. Use us, Lord. Help us to make a grand stand these last days to be a church that's truly salt and light and a body of believers who get it, who are dedicated, understanding that you gave your life for us and now we are willing to live for you. It's all about you. It's always about you. It's always about you. We pray in that beautiful name. In the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's sing this last song all about Jesus Christ. Let's go. My joy, my righteousness. Quick, and I'll be done. Go down the volume a little bit. I know I made a bold statement when I said some of you are not believers. Statistically, I know that's a fact, but I know I've been doing this long enough, talking with certain people. I know, and God puts on my heart, I can tell when someone has gotten a true understanding of Jesus Christ and when they have a false understanding. It's obvious. It's painfully obvious. So here's just a little test for you. Maybe you should come talk to me. How do you know you're a believer? Peter laid it out. Your identity is in Christ. I'm an apostle, he said, of Jesus Christ. The elect. He's called. We're called. We belong to him. It's all about him. In sanctification. You are seeking the Word of God thoroughly, passionately. You want the Word like the newborn babe desires the milk. You want to be sanctified. Not just hear it, not just, you know, fit it into your life here and there. No, you are passionately seeking it yourself. You're seeking sanctification in obedience. Your life has become obedient. That's how you know you're saved. That's the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit in your life. Without those fingerprints there, you have no assurance. You fall back usually on this, well, I said a prayer and was baptized. If that is your testimony, you said a prayer somewhere and was baptized, there is a good, good chance you are in danger of hellfire. It's not about a prayer. It's about being born again. I know some of you are beautiful believers in Christ. I know you are. I am fearful for some. I'll continue to pray for you. If you want to come talk to me, I'm always here. All right, Team Jesus, let's break out of here. Let's go into the playing field of the world. Go live for our Lord and Savior. Take the name of Jesus to those who are lost. Let's break out of here and count to three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.